The Best Podcast in Baseball is brought to you by Closets by Design. Update your closet, garage, office, pantry, and more. Imagine your home totally organized with Closets by Design. Call 1-800-BY-DESIGN. That's 1-800-BY-DESIGN.
So what are the ground rules here as far as are you going to curse? Are you going to make me edit this?
I don't know. We'll have to see what you make me say.
Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Best Podcast in Baseball, brought to you by Closets by Design of St. Louis. I'm St. Louis Post-Dispatch baseball writer Derek Gould, joined today by Cardinals home opener starter Lance Lynn. How does that sound? That's not something that I've ever said before or you've ever said before. Cardinals home opener starter Lance Lynn, all these years.
Yeah, something that you didn't happen before, and when you leave, you don't think it's ever going to happen. It's going to be an exciting time. Family's looking forward to it. So it'll be a good comeback.
I know how sentimental you are, right? Just total. What's that going to be like for you to go back and to that clubhouse, put on that uniform, but see the red coats and former teammates and the Clydesdales?
The good thing is it's very familiar. I know how to get in the ballpark, and I know where everything is. So whenever you have that for your first official home game on a new season, that makes it easier. But to see some familiar faces, obviously the Cardinal greats and all that, that's an exciting time of the year. And to be able to start it and hopefully kick off the first home stand of the year off on a good note, that's the plan.
I wanted to work my way back to get to that start. And I'll begin in 2017. Your last season with the Cardinals, you led the team in starts, 33 starts, I believe. Was there a point in that summer where you're like, yeah, I'm not going to be back here? How did it dawn on you that your time with the Cardinals was over or likely over, given the fact that, like, there for a while it looked like you might spend your whole career with the Cardinals?
Yeah, you obviously don't know where the game's going to take you. When you get into your last year, it was my first year back from Tommy John, so I was just worried about making starts, feeling okay, getting back in the rhythm of being a full-time, every 5 days guy after having the year off. You don't really think about free agency or anything like that. Once the year started going on, and then once we were eliminated from the playoffs that last week, mm-hmm. you kind of had a sense like, hey, maybe I won't come back. You get the qualifying offer, and back then that was a weird time. You didn't really get a chance to talk to other teams and see what was out there. It's your first time to get to free agency, so you have to take it. And I was like, they have the chance, maybe extend me or something like that. And then things just – it was weird. It was just business. I think for the first time in your career, you know what the business entails until you're actually involved in it or actually have an opportunity to see other teams, you don't really know. So – I don't think there's ever a time where I was like, I never thought I'd be back, but I also knew that there was a chance I could be somewhere else. So it was kind of that last homestand that year was kind of bittersweet because it might be an end, but it was also like you really enjoyed your time. I grew a lot there. I went through a lot of things personally and professionally that I take with me to this day, and that's helped shape me along the way here.
It also was the first time where you were active and there wasn't a playoff, right? Wasn't it like the only time that you had even a Cardinal game where you weren't mathematically alive for the playoffs? Because I missed 16.
Yeah, I missed the year before when we didn't make the playoffs because I was hurt. And then, we got eliminated, I want to tell you, right after my last start. So there, it was definitely a weird time, so in transition time and professionally. And you just kind of go with the flow there. You don't really know where anything's going to take you. And, you learn a lot from it, I'm able to help kids today that are going to go through it because it's something that I wasn't prepared for. Those things might come, but there's nothing that can prepare you for them. And then, I learned a lot, and I've been able to help kids along the way since.
What do you tell them? I mean, obviously it's different with the qualifying offer now. There's a little bit of a difference. You were somewhat landlocked by what offers you could give because teams had to give up a pick to get you. And it was perpetual. You kind of caught like Kyle Loesch was, and I know somebody you talked to. What are some of the things that you learned from that you think you can benefit younger guys now?
I think all in all in this game, everyone that represents players tells them, hey, get to free agency, max out this, do this, and do that. I think that I tell the kids today, be open to anything, be receptive to anything that might be out there, and make the best decision for you and your family. You know, everyone's going to have their opinions, whether it's your representatives or anything like that, on what they think is going to happen, what they want to happen. But truly, free agency, you do not know. We saw that this year. Some of the best players just now signed, weekend of the season. So you don't know what it's going to entail. You can always have your guesses and stuff like that, but you know, when there's offers or abilities to get extensions and stuff like that, you know, listen. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But, you know, keep all avenues open.
Yeah, that's one thing about free agency that isn't discussed enough. It's to think that it's free, so you get what you choose. But, no, you only get to choose from the offers you get. It's not like you can go, oh, well, I would like to go to this part of the country if no team from that part of the country offers you something.
Yeah, you have an idea, and that's the beauty of free agency, right? There's these glorious ideas and contracts that are out there for you,
right.
And I will say that there's only so many, and there's always more free agents. So find a place you like, find a place your family's comfortable, find a place you have a chance to win and be the best player you can be, and if that's the place that you're at and they give you a chance to be there for a long time, then snatch it up. And then, you know, sometimes you're in a place you like and then just doesn't work out, whether it's the, you know, the next guy's coming or things of that nature. That's just part of the business too. But, you know, never close a door along the way just because you don't know where it's going to be. And hell, look at me now. I'm back here in a place that, you know, you never, you know, once you leave somewhere, you don't think about going back because you're like, oh, well, I've already been there. You know, we'll see where the game takes me from there. But the game of baseball has a funny sense of humor, I think. And, you know, I told Mo that when I came back. It's like there was never a door closed as much as people might have thought that. But when your time's done somewhere, you don't think about coming back. You think about, all right, where am I going next?
Weren't there a couple times where you thought maybe you might get traded back to the Cardinals in this time? There was a thought that
there
was possible.
There were some talks. You know, obviously when you're involved in certain things, you don't know what's going to happen. You know, last year during the trade deadline when I went to L.A., there were some, you know, rumors that they were going to see about bringing me back then just so they knew they could have me this year. So you just never know what teams are pulling what strings and where, you know, where you might go. You know, you think you do. Just like in free agency, you think that you might have an idea where you get traded or stuff like that, but you have no control over it unless you have a no trade, which I did a little bit last year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the only team that I was asked to lift it to was the Dodgers, because that was the only team that they finally came to something they could agree on. So, you know, that's just how it goes sometimes, and you just got to go with the flow.
The Cardinals were on that list, your no trade, but that was to create leverage. That wasn't because you wanted to block that move, right?
There's a lot of teams on there that was all about creating leverage. You know, when you go into the idea of having a no trade, you kind of think about it two ways. It's like places you don't want to go, and I didn't have anywhere where I was like, I'll never pitch there in my mind or didn't want to go. I thought about it as in, who do I think is going to be in the division race? Who do I think is going to be in playoff races? And I put all those teams on there.
Mm-hmm.
So when there does come time to trade, you know, maybe get yourself another year or something like that and use it as a way to get some leverage. And then it turned out last year to where it was just like, hey, I want to go have a chance to make a playoff run. And that's what it worked out to when I went to L.A.
When the Cardinals call this time around and kind of what we just talked about, free agency, did you want to make a quick decision? Did you not want to float out there knowing what this market, or maybe you had a perception of what this market could be like? Did you want to move fast on an offer from any team?
I think, to be honest, my third time going to free agency, so I had a really good idea of what it was going to look like more than ever. I also had an idea of what I was looking for and where I wanted to be and how it looked. And right out of the gate, there was, I would say, 6 to 10 teams that were all in a similar ballpark. Some teams offered me more money. Some teams offered me more guaranteed years. But when it gets down to it, like I said, if you're in a place where you know you want to be, it fits, family's going to be good, and you go do your job, you make your money.
Why go home again then? Like, why? I've wondered that, you know, I wanted to ask you that. So here, why go home? Why did you go back to where you came from?
I think there's a lot of reasons. One being, in my mind, both myself and this team underperformed last year. So, you know, what better place to go and, you know, reassert yourself as a quality big league starter and a place that it all started and take the team that you came up with back to the playoffs. That was a big deciding factor. Obviously, you know, family and friends being close, you know, the familiarity with the group, knowing a lot of the coaches, a lot of the staff and all that, it kind of just, the time felt right for all of us to come back together.
Are you a little bit more, I mean, is it, was the poetry of it a little bit nice too? I mean, the notion that like they kind of moved away from you, but now they need your help to get back to where they were?
Like, then that's the funny part about baseball when I said it has a you know, funny sense of humor. The things that might have been frowned upon early in your career are now the things that bring you back. I will say this, they did help me rein in some things, but they also made me realize I got to be who I am. And I've been able to make a lot of strides on both ways in this game. And I also, you know, I never lost friendships or had any bad will here. So it was kind of a weird notion that, oh, I didn't like anybody or no one liked me. It was just one of those things where I needed to go away to be myself, learn some things, become, you know, the person that I am now. And then that person that I've become now and become when I left is somebody that they really think could help out, and that's why I'm here.
I can't imagine why someone who you're competing against would think you don't like them.
That's part of it.
I mean, that's what I was taught a long time ago, right? You're in between the lines. It's you versus them. I got college teammates I play with. I got against. I've got, heck, minor league roommates and stuff like that. And there's a thing that if they don't like you across the way, that means you're doing your job.
Right.
There's never been a way where it's like you're trying to show anyone up or do things like that. But I'm here to compete, and I'm here to let it, you know, leave it all out between the lines. I think other people respect that, but it also, you know, that's part of it. Everybody has their thing now. So just enjoy it. Go compete. And if they get you, so be it. If you get them, then good.
But that's part of how you find motivation, right? Don't you purposefully say, okay, that, like, you're pitching, that Cardinals team, they doubted me. I'm going to go prove them wrong in Minnesota. Haven't you drawn motivation from that before? Or they didn't want me back. I'm going to go show them what they're missing.
Yeah.
I think that it comes with the territory. I think my first year away, I was mad at, to be honest, the whole league. It was a weird time. I don't know why I felt that way. It was just, and then I realized about halfway through that year, like, that was just stupid. You know, sometimes in this game and in life, things don't work out the way you want to. So you can't blame other people or be mad about, you know, what happened to you. All you can do is control where you're at. So, you know, I don't think, I mean, they offered me a qualifying offer that they could have just been like, hey, we don't want you and do all that. So it's not like they didn't want me back. It just, hey, they wanted to, you look back at it now, they wanted to see another year removed from Tommy John to see where I was going to go.
Yeah.
So you understand that. At the time, you're like, man, I've given up everything. I gave them everything I could. I blew out my elbow, came back. I made 33 starts, led the team in starts, and you don't want me. But no, it was like, hey, you know, we have a chance to keep you. That's the business side of games. If I'd have came back and thrown the ball well in the first half or something like that, who knows what extension I would have got or where it would have taken me. But, you know, they both had to see where I was going to go and all that. But I also left and found out a lot about myself that I don't know if I would have found out when I was here. So, all in all, I think it was good for me personally. But I think also in this game, you know, people have to go their separate ways to find themselves too.
You mentioned a few times the notion of having to go somewhere else to find self. Mm-hmm. And I have this pet theory, and I ask folks a lot about, like, leaving the Cardinals. The Cardinals, they pride themselves on such continuity, mm-hmm. and you saw that. You were part of that. They talk about that lineage of pitchers, or they talk about the lineage of front office folks. But I have this sense that sometimes, every so often, it might be beneficial to go elsewhere or to draw somebody in from elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Like Mike Schilt being the manager of the Padres, probably going to be a better manager because he's been elsewhere, or at least have a different view. You had a chance to go to the Twins, the Yankees, the Rangers, the White Sox. You had the chance to see other organizations. How, you mentioned it changed you. How does that make you better than the second act with the Cardinals?
I think all in all, when you're with, say, one organization all the way through, you only see one way to do things. And then, and to be honest with you, that way kind of shifted a little bit while I was here last time. I came up with Tony and Dunk and those guys, and then, you know, Matheny became the manager, and there was a different way of going about things then. And then it just kind of, you know, things change every year in and year out. I think when you leave, like, I got the luxury of playing with a lot of really good players while I was here, and then I got the luxury of seeing a totally different way in other organizations. You know, I've been lucky to play with a lot of really great organizations, iconically with the Yankees, New York, and Cardinals, or Yankees, LA, and the Cardinals. So, like, you're looking at, in my opinion, they're all those three are on the Mount Rushmore in baseball.
Yeah, baseball royalty.
Yeah, so I'm able to see so many different ways to do it. And everybody has their own way, and I think that's the thing that I learned. It's like you want to be successful, you want to be a part of the team, you want to do things, but not everybody has to be the same person to accomplish those goals. And the way that I learned a long time ago is, you know, get to know the people around you, get to know what makes them click, and you can take a little bit from everybody. But as long as you let everybody be themselves a little bit, there's a, you know, the sky's the limit for the team.
The first time through the rotation, you and Kyle Gibson give the Cardinals exactly what they signed you for.
Kyle did, because he got to go more innings. But yes, we're on pace. We're on pace for the similar things.
Rain got in the way of yours. And, you know, Kyle then goes out and pitches 7 superb innings, really strong. And he talked afterwards about how you guys are similar in your competitiveness, but you get there in far different ways. Yep. You wear yours on your sleeve, sometimes shout it loudly for the on-field mics to catch. He burns at a lower, kind of more steady pulse, I guess. Yep. Is the root of that learning how to control it? Is that confidence, self-assurance? Is it like some of it comes from preparation, right? Knowing, okay, I got it in me to get through this game. I'm not going to be bothered, buffeted by the problem. But is that, where does that come from? Where's that confidence or how you learn to channel those emotions?
I think failure. In the game and in life, you have to fail to succeed. When you know, you're in this game is probably one of the worst games in all of sports on failure. Like, hitters go, or they go 3 out of 10. I mean, 7 times or not, like, on a very good hitter, you're out.
Yeah.
So in baseball, it's like you got to learn to fail, and you got to learn to be like, hey, not be afraid of it, and then know you're preparing, you've done everything you can, and then when you go out there, I've learned a long time ago, you go out there and try to hold back or try not to, you know, try not to fail and things like that. When you look yourself in the mirror after the game, you're not happy, but when you look yourself in the mirror after the game, you know you let it all hang out. You left everything out there, and as a starter, you only have 1 out of every 5 days to do it. So the living with the fear now of not leaving it all out there is what I do. So I just let it rip and go from there.
I believe it. Yeah, sometimes you say colorfully, you let it rip. Wait, so take me back into that first inning at Dodger Stadium. First 3 guys reach. I mean, they're hits. I mean, they're singles. They're not damage. You know, younger Lance, does that inning spin away? But older, comfortable with where he's at, Lance, he rages against the next 3 hitters.
I think that, you know, sometimes it just goes your way. Sometimes, you know, there could be a bloop that scorched 2. But there's literally nothing you can control. The older you get, you learn that there's nothing you can control inside. It's making the next pitch with everything you have, with every bit of intensity and anything you have in the tank. And if you live by that, then you have no regrets, because it's like, oh, don't give up this, don't give up 3 runs, don't give up a run. Next thing you know, you give up a couple and you're playing scared, or you're playing not to do it. And when you do that, things snowball on you. So I think the older you get, the more you let it rip, because it's like, hell, if I sit here and baby it, I might give up some anyways, and I'm just gonna be pissed off at myself for doing that. So now you just say, hey, screw it. You're already out here. You already loaded them up. Don't make it worse by getting scared now.
And then you celebrate by walking off the mound and shouting a good tidings to yourself.
Yeah. And you get, then that gets our team going. And then knows that, you know, for me, it gives me a little click that say, hey, all right, stop screwing around, or, you know, effing around, as I like to say it. But all in all, the boys see you fired up because you left it all out there, no matter what's going on, win or lose, then everyone around you wants to leave it all out there. Because when you have 26 guys, and at the end of every game, if everyone said, hey, I did everything I could to help us win that night, and I left it out there, at the end of the year, we're going to be in a good spot, I think.
You spent a lot of time after the Cardinals drafted you out of Ole Miss being told the things you needed to be. You needed to get a two-seamer, a sinker. You needed to be leaner. You needed to do this. You needed to do that. Where did your self-assurance come from to go, no, okay, some of this stuff, I'll try it, but I know the kind of pitcher I can be.
I think, there's a reason why I got drafted. And I tell young kids this all the time. There's a reason why you're here. There's a reason why you get drafted. Reason why they sign you, right? You have something. So figure out what that is. Don't lose it. And then figure out how to bring the rest of the things along with you.
Imagine your home totally organized. Closets by Design is offering 40% off plus an additional 15% and free installation. Schedule your free consultation today. Call 1-800-BY-DESIGN for details. That's 1-800-BY-DESIGN.
I find that it's good to be told what you're not good at and then figure out how to make it better. But don't ever lose what you're good at, because if you lose that, then you have nothing. So along the way is like everybody had their ideas of what made me the best player, and I gave everybody a little bit. I never once said no, but I never fully changed who I was to accomplish what they wanted me to be. So I was able to morph. I was able to take a little bit from Westbrook, Carpenter, Loesch, Waino, even Jaime and Lackey, and then I went to CeCe, and you just slowly grow your game, and then that makes you play for a long time. If you're stuck in your ways in this game and don't grow, the game will leave you behind.
What was the talk, if you can remember, what was the talk before that playoff game for AAA Memphis? You had thrown a two-seamer. I hope I have this right. You'd thrown a two-seamer for much of that season, and we're in that 92 range, 91 range. You go into a playoff, and you're like, you know, what, F it, let it rip, and you throw a four-seamer, and it's 98. And I need to put a qualifier on. This was at a time when the Cardinals organization had maybe one other guy throwing, averaging more than 95. It was not common at that time. It was about to be, but it was not. Everybody was on their way. But you were the guy who was drafted as kind of that velocity, you know, monster, and then had it. What was that talk like before that game?
I think it was, to be honest with you, it was a year of trial and error in the minor leagues, which is what you need to do. And I was able to come up and kind of slowly build into what I needed to be as a big leaguer. But you get told to try two-seamer. I was told to throw change-ups and all that, because at the time, you're like, why? You know, I've got a four-seam and a curveball that got me drafted in the first round. I was, you know, in the SEC, and I was successful. So what are you doing? But you realize later, it's like, man, if I don't have those, I'd probably be out of the game right now. Who's to say? Because I've got multiple pitches that go. And then when I came up, I developed a cutter, which I never threw in my life. So those are the things that, you know, you look back on, and at the time, you're like, why is everybody trying to change me? And then they see the ability for the longevity. As a starter, you got to be able to strike people out, but you got to be able to get quick outs. So I'm able to use my two-seamer and cutter and things like that to get quick outs, and I'm able to use my four-seamer to strike people out still to this day. Instead of back then, it was like, hey, you need to do this. And then I was able to figure out how it all works for me. And that whole year, it was like, man, do this, do that, and all that. And then finally, as the year went on, you know, I corrected some things mechanically because I was changing some stuff, trying to get it to sync,
trying to make the movement.
And then I got back to throwing with my natural throw and finding a grip that worked before we had all this stuff now. I wish I would have had all this stuff now. It'd been a lot easier to see it and do all that. But I had to fill some stuff out. And then next thing I know, I was like, all right, I can do both. And there was that in that game, it was a long time ago, but I remember striking people out with my four-seam, but I was throwing balls in, sinkers in on my and getting them off that, righties. I saw some sinkers running off away, and then I was able to beat them up and in with my four-seamer. So they all just kind of figured out how to coexist and do what I do best, but also have something to complement it.
I asked you at spring training if you recall a game where, I think I asked you if you ever told the hitter, hey, a fastball's coming. But there have been games where you only throw fastballs, different styles of it. Where did you get comfortable and confident with that in your career, saying like, okay, I can go out there and I have such movement and control of this pitch that I can just rely on it?
I think, to be honest, hitters just kind of tell you, tell you that you can get away with it. I remember growing up, I just threw four-seamers by people, and everyone was like, and I never threw like 100. So in that, back in the day, that was the old, hides the ball well, all the heavy ball, all that stuff that they have numbers on now.
Yeah.
So once you know that, and then I hit a lot growing up and knew all that, so I could tell the difference between my stuff and other people. So it turned into where it was more so the fact that I just said, hey, I'm going to challenge people, and I'm not going to let them get comfortable. Hitters don't like to be attacked, and I'm going to attack them. And that's where it kind of all came from at a young age. And then it just kind of has progressed even more the older I get. It's like, hey, well, I'm out here to get you out as fast as possible. And it's you versus me. Let's go.
Last year with the White Sox, I've wondered this, and I wanted to ask you. Like, you obviously allowed a lot of home runs there, but the two guys who allowed the most home runs in the game were both teammates. Mm-hmm. What was going on? Like, I mean, there has to be something to that. Is the way the ballpark played? There's something else going on. I mean, it's a little oddity that the two guys that would have that same experience.
Yeah,
I think
you and Lucas Giolito.
I think all in all, you know, we were having a battle to see who could give up the most, and I was able to beat him. So, you know, it's something I can hold over his head. But all in all, I think that you're looking at, we were in a stage of where we were trying to accomplish some things that might not have gone well with what we do naturally, and it got us in trouble at times. Unfortunately, Lucas got hurt in spring training, because I know he was getting back to being himself too. You start chasing certain things. You start worrying about, you know, what the track man says, what all the movement patterns and all that say, instead of being who you are. And then I think we got kind of caught up in some things that weren't our natural ways to do it, and then we got ourselves in trouble. And in this game, when you're a little uncomfortable and you're trying new things and it's taking away what makes you good, you're going to make mistakes, and we made mistakes and we got paid for. You know, there could have been 10 more balls popped up, but it didn't happen. But if we're maybe in our natural throw, our natural mechanics and all that, maybe those balls do get popped up. So that was what we had to realize. And, you know, you always want to get better. You always want to improve. But like I said earlier, you can't lose what makes you good. And I was able to reassert that this offseason after the trial and error. But I also was able to learn a lot from that. And I ended up developing a pitch or two from it that I can now use where I need to. So it was all in all, you know, you never want to have bad years. You never want to struggle. But it makes you better in the end if you don't let it beat you down.
Did that start with the Dodgers? Did some of that, like, movement, did it begin after the trade to the Dodgers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went, you know, Dodgers are really big into figuring out what you do well and why you do it well. And then we were able to talk about some stuff. And, you know, unfortunately, when you get traded over and you're in a playoff push, you can't really tinker as much as you would want, because you're out there to win games and things are on the line. But it gave me a really good start to my offseason. And, you know, I thank those guys a lot for kind of reasserting, you know, what I knew already and figuring out even some more ways to make it work, and the things that I was working on that got me in trouble, figuring out how to make those things work too. So all in all, that's what we're saying. When you make stops and you see some things, you learn new things. And every pitching coach, every staff I've ever been with, I've learned something new that's really helped me, but it's also helped me with other pitchers and other young guys too, that I'm able to, you know, pass along what maybe didn't work for me might work for another guy, just because of the way he throws or something like that. And that's the beauty of being a teammate. You just never know what you can get out of a certain guy or a certain conversation.
Does what you want to do this off, does that come up with the Cardinals when you're talking to them about, like, all right, when they talk to you about signing, you say, hey, I got an idea of how to improve. Is that something that actually, like, a part of the conversation?
That, to be honest with you, every team that called me, I talked to a manager and the pitching coach.
Really?
And I talked to them about what they saw. And I think the big thing was them seeing where I was at, not only for myself, but what I was thinking about going into this year, and seeing if those things kind of mesh. In this game, if you're truthful with yourself and truthful with what's going on, and sometimes you just admit, hey, I wasn't worth a darn last year, and here's how I'm planning to fix it, and here's the things I learned and all that. And we were right on pace with some things. And then Dusty right away was like, the things that I saw are very similar to what you're saying. And then we were able to start bouncing ideas off. It was right after I signed, and it's been a great, you know, great build up into the season.
That's Dusty Blake, the pitching coach for the Cardinals. A few times you talked about family. What part did that play? And you now live in Southern Illinois, right? And what part did that play? What were those conversations like about coming back to St. Louis? And what do you think it means for your family to have you there?
You know, I think it's going to be exciting. You know, like you said, the first opening day that I've had there, you know, I've got a lot of people coming. So they're excited. You know, I joked in spring training about being in Southern Illinois, and if you don't play for the Cardinals, people don't think you still play baseball. So I had a couple, you know, I had a couple of Cy Young finishes and stuff like that, and people were asking me what I've
been, All-Stars.
Been asking me what I was up to. So and then right away when I signed with the Cardinals, they're like, oh, people that I've seen in the grocery store say hello all of a sudden. You know, that's a, you know, that's part of the gig, especially down in where I live is definitely Cardinal country. So, you know, it's Cardinals fans are, they're beautiful. They are so loyal and all that, but sometimes they forget other teams exist. So, but that also makes them loyal and you respect that. But all in all, you know, it's going to be exciting. My kids get to go to school every day. They don't have to worry about, you know, being away from home too long. I mean, I'll be able to go home some and, you know, spend more nights ever at home than I ever have in my career. So when you look at it, you look at where I'm at in my career and all that, like I said, everything kind of just made sense. And it worked out. So now you just got to go out and perform. So, you know, you make everybody happy and, you know, people aren't giving me hell at the at the market.
I got to see how you grew close with Westbrook, Carpenter. I know what John Lackey meant to you. I think he's what a role model is that a good way to describe? Though he would hate that, right? Wouldn't he hate that?
Yeah, he's a buddy of mine. He still texts me to this day. They all do. They all shoot you a text after starts and stuff like that. That's cool. But that's the beauty about this game. It's like it is a brotherhood. You learn something from everybody. Like. In there, you know, Adam had a different way of going about things than I did, but we were all able to, you know, bounce stuff off each other. And, you know, that's the fun part about growing up. You know, at one point I thought I had some things figured out, and you get humbled in this game, and then I had great people around me to help me figure some things out and then learn with trial and error, you know, and become the best teammate and player I could be.
Who did you hear from of that group when you signed with the Cardinals, and who was most surprised by it?
The first person that was surprised that I went back was AJ Brzezinski.
Okay.
So of all people, you know, AJ is like, I was like, you were here for half a year. You think you know everything though, but that's just AJ. We all know that. But you know, you had all of them reach out at some point, and then all of them reached out after the first start and all that. So I think in a weird way, everyone was like, man, it's good to see you. Back where it all started. I think for them it kind of reminisced for when we actually played together and were teammates too. Yeah. So it was kind of one of those things. So, you know, baseball, as much as we are, you know, try to be tough guys, there's some sentimental stuff that comes along with it along the times and makes you feel good and miss people when you haven't seen them in a while.
That you mentioned the baseball has a funny sense of humor. You have a sense of humor. I mean, you have to find the humor in this, right? I mean, like you went a long way and you did a lot of good things to come back here to be the one who stayed. I mean, like of all these pitchers who have come and been part of that progression, you're the one homegrown guy that they expected to start the season with. It's just you didn't stay at home to grow.
Yeah, and that's part of it. You know, it's like going off to college. You know, you leave high school and you got to go off and become a man and grow up a little bit. So I was able to learn a lot. I was able to have a lot of great things here. You know, I wish I would have had the ability to stay my whole career, but I wouldn't trade in the, you know, the relationships, the places I've been, the memories either from where I have, because it's really made me appreciate the game of baseball a lot more, and it made me grow my, you know, the people around me a lot more and learn a lot of things that I don't know if I ever would have learned here. But all in all, like, baseball is fun. I've been able to have a great career. I'm not done yet, but I also am very thankful for all the opportunities I've had.
Last thing I want to ask you, usually the question would be, are you going to be getting nervous, butterflies? Are you going to feel something before you go out there? And while you're warming up and all the intros are going on, I'm going to flip that a little bit. Lance, do you want to feel emotional? Do you want to feel emotional as that game is, as you're preparing to throw? I mean, like if you feel a little bit of butterflies, if you feel a little bit of like nostalgia, if you feel some pangs of the past or some, you know, some feelings about your family being there, do you want that?
Yeah, to be honest with you, yes. And I'm already starting to process that and getting prepared for it. I think if you try to be a tough guy and say, oh, nothing's going to faze me and this and all that. That's impossible. The human element's too much. But what you do is you prepare for it so it doesn't overtake you. I cannot wait to be warming up in the outfield and seeing the guys ride around on the truck and for the fans to be there and all that. I'm already envisioning it so it doesn't overtake me too much, but I know that it will. And then being prepared for it, how I'm going to counter it, how I'm going to get ready to pitch, and how I'm going to go compete when it comes that time. But if you sit here and say, hey, I'm not going to do any of that, when it hits you, you're not going to be prepared for it. So I'm going to be prepared for it. To be honest with you, I'm going to cherish the moment too at the same time. So that's what you have to do. I've learned in the older days that you get, there's times that you got to, you know, sit back, take a deep breath, and just be open to just cherishing moments, and then flip the switch and go play when it comes time, because, you know, that's what you're paid to do and that's your job at the same point. But being prepared for the first part of it is going to help me be prepared for the second part of that.
Welcome back, Lance. Thank you very much for the time. I know you missed all these long chats we would have, right? All those years. You had to, you know, thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Lance Lynn, the two-time All-Star and once and current Cardinal, for joining the best podcast in baseball. That interview was recorded during the Padres series, actually in the visitor's dugout at Petco Park, right there on the eve of what will be Lance Lynn's first appearance at Busch Stadium since he appeared there as a Cardinal. That's right. Despite all the voyages and moving around he has done since the end of the 2017 season, this will be the first time he's thrown a pitch at Busch Stadium, and it will be as the starter for the home opener. Of course, the Post-Dispatch will be there with its constant Cardinals coverage to bring you everything and more from the 2024 home opener at Busch Stadium. You can find all of that constant Cardinals coverage at stltoday.com and in the pages of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. We have some, let's see, new things in store. Some expanded coverage planned for this year's home opener. So hope you like it. Look forward to hearing from you about what you did like about it and what we can always do better. The best podcast in baseball, brought to you every week by Closet by Design of St. Louis, can also be found at stltoday.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, it's available on iTunes, where you can rate and review the podcast. Tell me about what you think. So far this season, number 12 of the BPIB, had an opportunity to branch out a little bit and bring some player interviews onto the podcast. Let me know what you think. I always like to take the opinion of the community that has been created around BPIB into account when thinking about what next for BPIB. For the best podcast in baseball and all the galaxy of Cardinals coverage at stltoday.com, I'm baseball writer Derek Gould. Enjoy the home opener. Enjoy the spectacle, the unofficial civic holiday. Talk to you soon.